Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. On today's episode, I'm talking with my dad.
Hey, Chad.
Hey, Dad. How you doing?
Real good. What's news?
Well, this week is the last week of preseason. Have you been watching the preseason?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No, it's just good to, because it seems like most teams go with a lot of their starters in the third week as opposed to the fourth week. I guess that's to give those who are on the bubble the most amount of time to try out for the team and make it.
That's why you think they don't play him in the fourth? Or that's why you,
well, that's
why you think they play him in the fourth?
Well, that's why I one of the big reasons is also because they don't want any freak injuries when, you know, you've got starters who are pretty much all ready to go.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, they're just they're just filling in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because, well, that's the whole thing, the fear factor.
Yeah, you never know when these guys are going to go down. I mean, just look at Dustin Keller. I think it was the first week of preseason games, and he got hit in the kneecaps, and he's out for the season.
Well, we've seen a few more hits. This is a whole trend we're going to see throughout the season because, you know, you don't want these head injuries, thanks to the NFL lawyers trying to defend their riches.
Right.
You got people hitting low.
Yeah.
And they're blowing lights out and knees and all kinds of body parts down there.
Yeah. The NFL just came out with a statement that they're going to keep an eye on low knee hits this season.
Yeah, but what they're going to do is they're probably more than likely going to fine people. They need a rule change. But what rule change? Flag football?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, they're going to fine people.
Yeah, exactly.
They're in the pocketbook, but, hey, you're putting them in an impossible situation. Hey, there's other lines of work, but this is a game of violence. This is a game of domination.
Absolutely.
Well, there's a reason MMA is popular. Now, how come those guys aren't getting sued?
Well, you know what? Good point.
Well, yeah, so what are we doing here? You know, they got a goose laying big eggs, and they're all golden, and they want to find a way to give us a product and charge the players.
And also give us more product as well, with the talk of the expanded schedule and all that other nonsense.
No. Well, that's another thing that's ridiculous, trying to get two more games into the season. Well, we'll see how it goes. Now you got the collective bargaining agreement. You know, you got those problems with how you practice these players.
Yeah.
You know, this is all becoming a mess. But it's the only game in town, and I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, no, I know you are. I know, and it's exciting. At this point, the regular season of baseball for me is over with. I'm just waiting, biding my time until the playoffs. So I'm all in with football for the rest of September.
You're in for it.
Yeah, I'm in for it. I'm excited, especially now that training camp and preseason's pretty much done with. They've already dropped the rosters down, I think, to like in the mid 70s. The next time they have to drop it.
Yeah, they go from 95 to 73 or something like
that. Yeah, 77 or 73. I think 77. And then the next jump is by September 1st, it has to be down to the 53.
Well, the interesting thing was they released some players before they had to drop down to 73 or whatever from 95. And no player that was ever released before they had to in those circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Never came back to play that year.
That's interesting.
So I thought that was interesting, yeah, because you have Braylon Edwards as one of them.
Yeah.
You also had McKnight as one of them.
Joe McKnight, yep.
Right, which is a real embarrassment because Woodhead still plays.
Yeah, really. I mean, that's one of those I'm going to point to forever and
right.
Say what the heck was going on.
Well, that was the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
That's where you try to please the boss, but you know what you really should be doing.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, that morphs into something else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting. As Rex Ryan's waistline has slimmed, so has his chances as a head coach.
It's true. It's hard to believe at this point it's going to be his fifth year. It feels like a lot longer. It really does.
And Mark Sanchez has less supporting cast than he had before.
Oh yeah, it's awful. It's, you know, along with the excitement of the beginning of the NFL with the Jets lining up how they are right now. Hopefully it will continue. I mean, it's hard not to like the NFL because there's always something for you to watch. You know, that there's always a game that you're excited to see, and you never know how it's going. There's only 17 weeks, 16 games per team. You know, so it goes really fast. All of a sudden, you're going to turn around. You're going to realize that it's December.
Yeah, but like many things in life, what you start out being loyal to changes in front of your eyes, and then you start questioning, why am I so loyal to this? You know, if you didn't know about these new rule changes and what they're trying to do, and you just picked it up from last year as a casual fan,
Yeah.
you know, but when you really see how the machine works, it's kind of like you don't eat in restaurants once you see the kitchens.
That's a good
what,
point.
yeah, so this is the thing, you know too much, you know.
Yeah.
So that's why you got to live in the present and look to the future because, you know,
Yeah.
the rest is gone, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you never know what the future can happen. But yeah, we'll see if Rex still has a job next year. There were a couple coaching changes over the summer though. I think there were
Yeah,
eight. Yeah, there were eight.
that's true.
Yeah, there were eight of them.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much one per division actually. I think actually two, yeah, well one per division almost. I know the AFC West, which I think people are saying is the weakest division. They got two new head coaches. One is in San Diego, Mike McCoy. He was the defensive coordinator. You worked on the defense in Seattle and Tampa Bay during Monty Kiffin's heyday in Tampa.
I don't think that's the guy. I think the guy you're talking about is Gus Bradley. That's Paul Casey, Gus Bradley.
Oh, you know what? You are right. Yeah, Gus Bradley. My
Yeah.
apologies. Yeah, Gus Bradley.
Okay, no problem. Yeah.
He's with Jacksonville. Yeah, he's the big defensive guy.
Well, he's 47 years old, right? From Zimbrada, Minnesota. But yeah, he was the Tampa Bay linebackers coach 06 and 08, and more importantly, the defensive coordinator in Seattle 09 to 20 and 2012. Yeah, well, he was actually the defensive quality control coach for Monty Kiffin in Tampa Bay in 06.
Right.
And he's a four-time academic All-American, North Dakota State. He played as a safety and a punter. And he was on the 88 NCAA Division II champion team here.
Oh,
So he has a very impressive resume.
he does. Unfortunately, his team is nowhere near impressive, I would say.
Well, that's a good point.
I mean,
So.
it's just Jacksonville's biding its time to either maybe stay in Jacksonville or go out to LA or possibly go out to London or whatever Roger Goodell wants out there.
Well, you really think they would do that? Because that would be a logistical
That
nightmare,
would be a
can't you think?
logistical nightmare because you'd have to have two teams out there because you're not going to ask one team to go out there on, say, Monday or Tuesday, play a game on Sun, you know, practice over there, and then Sun, and it'd be crazy. So if they were to actually put a team over in Europe, they would need two teams, kind of keep a team out there for both games, but.
I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it at all.
Right. Well, then it's more likely they want to get back into the Los Angeles market.
How many experiments are we going to have in LA?
The Raiders,
Yeah,
the
but don't people
Rams.
have other things to do out in LA?
Well, there's a lot. I mean, it's not exactly the best, you know. I mean, these are it's a
Yeah,
town.
San Diego, San Francisco, you got a lot of California
I
teams.
know, but it's hard for the NFL, again, the Golden Shield with its, you know, mammoth television ratings. To not have a team in the heart of the number two television market in the country. I mean, they have two in New York and they do gangbusters there, and so.
Well, New York's a little bit different.
Well, absolutely. I mean, LA, you know, Los Angeles is a very transient city. I mean, there's, I think, like 10,000 new people come into the city every year, which is crazy. So you have so many different allegiances, it is hard to build up. I mean, this is a town where Dodger games, people leave before the end of the game to beat the traffic.
Well, this is what I'm saying. I'm not, you know, I mean, they may want to see the NFL. Sometimes you can overreach in business, you know, and if you're talking about putting teams in Europe and making, you know, determined to make LA work, whether other experiments didn't. I don't know.
I don't know either. You know, but they're going to keep pushing it. And when you look at different cities like St. Louis, and you think about the Chargers in San Diego, I mean, those are two teams, two franchises that are working with, according to the NFL's, you know, the other teams in the NFL, they're working with ancient and not very good stadiums comparatively. So,
here's another thing about the stadium thing and sports in general. People are staying home. People aren't going to the game. If your market is millions or a million or whatever it is, it's not because it's TV. It's not going to the game. The game isn't played.
No.
The people in the stands is played for TV. So, you know, the idea of having these modern stadiums, and it's like a cross between a mall and Disney World or whatever, I'm not feeling that. You know, I mean, this is an excuse to have government pay for these people's luxuries.
No, you're right. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I like other people to buy me things, too.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Especially in a place you probably,
Now, when you got to have something, a woman can bring a purse in the size of an adult person's hand. I mean, whose hand are we measuring?
Yeah, and not only that, the bags are clear. That can be dangerous because, first of all, that's a bit of an invasion of privacy because maybe you don't want to be showing everybody, you know, what you got in there. And also, you might have something valuable that you don't want to be flashing. But,
I'm thinking more of how long do they want these hot dog lines and beer lines?
Yeah.
I mean, what happened to bringing a flask in? And I don't know. So much has changed. Like I say, it's not for the stadium. It's not for the people going to the game.
No.
It's the TV market. So, I mean, all these things are pointing towards that.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And you're knocking down stadiums and putting up more luxury boxes, and it's corporate. I'm not feeling it.
I know, I agree with you. But someday they'll understand it. So, all right, yeah, so I made a mistake with Mike McCoy. Mike McCoy was the offensive coordinator for both the Panthers back during their Super Bowl run and then the Broncos most recently.
How long ago was that?
With the Panthers?
Yeah.
That was 2000 to 2008.
And that was Coughlin, wasn't it?
No, John Fox and Jake Delhomme.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Okay, so it wasn't that long ago.
No, it wasn't that long ago. Yeah, so
that wasn't the Panthers anyhow with Coughlin. That was he was with the Jaguars. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so he's going to be, and then he was responsible for the Tim Tebow run with the Broncos. He was able to accommodate.
They changed the entire
offense.
That's because the Orton experience didn't work.
Yes, it didn't. So he'll go to the Chargers, and hopefully he'll have some fun with Philip Rivers. I know your man Chip Kelly. I know you got Chip Kelly. He's in Philadelphia. That's going to be
Let's see. He's worth talking about. This guy is he's soon to be the NFL media darling.
Mm-hmm.
He's 49 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Two-time coach of the year in college.
Yeah.
Three-time Pac-10 12 champion, 09 to 11, right?
Yeah.
But it's interesting, his resume for college, he started in Columbia University. Not exactly a football powerhouse.
No.
New Hampshire. John Hopkins. Back to New Hampshire from 94 to 06.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the Ducks, Argonne Ducks, 07 to 2012.
Mm-hmm. And he...
He's been described as funny, biting, pithy, stubborn, and unconventional.
Well, when you basically speed up a slow chess-like game of football to an obscene degree, you're gonna earn those nicknames.
But he did slow it down when he was ahead, so he's not a one-trick pony.
No, that's true.
No, but it's interesting because I don't know if you heard this, that in response to a fan that complained about traveling to a Boise State loss, they lost to Boise State 19-8.
Mm-hmm.
And near the end of the game, the Oregon running back, LeGarrette Blount,
Yep.
Was taunted by the opposition there and punched the guy in the face.
I remember that. I remember that was a big deal.
So they lost the game, and this fan sent a letter to Chip Kelly and said he wanted to be reimbursed for the embarrassment of all that travel. And the coach actually wrote him a check for $439.
Wow, that's a big, that's big of him.
Yeah. So, it just gives you an idea how unconventional this guy is. He's the flavor of the year.
Yeah.
And in the copycat league, a lot of people are going to, have some sort of hurry up.
It's going to be very interesting how he does, not only in the division, but throughout the league. If you look at, some recent college coaches coming into the league, I know last year Shiano with Tampa Bay from Rutgers, he came in and he did pretty well with them. But,
He came in last place, didn't he?
Right, but he came in at last place in 7-9. I mean, aside from the Falcons, really taking charge, I mean, the rest of the division, it struggled, but it wasn't a bad division.
Well, ruffled his with some feathers with the, every down counts, even what it kneeled down, stuff like that. I mean,
but that's also the kind of stuff you, as a first-time coach and maybe somebody who's not really thought highly of, you kind of want to get your us against them mentality going early, I suppose.
Well, that sure did it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. And hopefully, it's going to be interesting to see, because that's a very tough division, that NFC South, with those four teams, because they're all good, they're all competitive, but there's only going to be real one team coming.
The way I've seen it recently is whoever wins the division doesn't win it the next year.
That's true.
So this constant change in that division. Of course, everybody's all over Atlanta. They think they've improved.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
That coach is a little bit predictable in the playoffs, so... Reminds me of Marty Schottenheimer.
I was about to say, he's got a lot of Marty in him, but I always want those sort of coaches to be successful. I never want them to go away without anything to show for it, especially if you've been so successful and you just can't make it in the playoffs. I just want them to just get one and then be done. I mean, and that's actually the only division that didn't have a coaching change. That was the only division.
Well, that's not really true, because New Orleans has Sean Payton back, and they didn't have him last year.
That is true. They did get him back, but I mean,
we know what we're getting there, but still.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a big difference. That takes a lot of load off of the quarterback down there, because I had to do everything last year.
Yeah. So, and I think that's going to improve New Orleans this year. So Chip Kelly takes over for Andy Reid. Andy Reid is in Kansas City now. We pretty much know his story. I mean, he was very successful with Philadelphia for something like 13 years. He was there forever, which in this day and age is hard to believe.
That somebody could hang on to him that long and listen to all those. That press conference, you could take any one of them and just replay it week after week.
It's like a Belichick one as well.
Well, Belichick is, he doesn't give you anything.
No, I've heard that being a beat writer for the New England Patriots is one of the most torturous jobs you could have in journalism and in sports.
Right, because you can't really criticize the guy, because everybody's in love with him up there.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, if you're trying to get something and you're not getting anything and all you want to do is something to bring back to the paper, it's the worst.
Yeah.
And then I know out west, the Cardinals have a new coach, Bruce Arians. He was the...
Well, yeah, that's a very interesting selection there. He was a player at Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
In Paterson, New Jersey.
Paterson.
He's a Jersey guy.
Yeah. Nice. I like that.
He's 60 years old. And here's the most interesting thing, really. He was the 2012 AP Coach of the Year in Indianapolis. So he was an interim coach for Chuck Pagano when he was diagnosed with leukemia.
Yep.
But he had 9 wins as an interim coach. So that's the most ever for an interim coach in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. And that
basically his resume, he was a Temple head coach, 83 to 88.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chiefs, Saints, the Colts for as a quarterback coach. In fact, he was Peyton Manning's first quarterback coach in the pros.
That's right.
98 to 2000. And, of course, he was offensive coordinator with the Browns and mm-hmm. with the Steelers from 07 to 11. So, you know, you're working with Peyton Manning, then you're working with Roethlisberger.
That's right.
So, and the other thing I thought was interesting about him is there's no fullbacks on that squad.
Really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so that's hard. An idea of what he's going to be doing there. That's not going to be a power running team per se.
No, but if you
defense looking real good. So this guy is really an offensive coach. And we saw what he did last year. That was one of the biggest turnarounds in the history of the league.
Yeah. Andrew Luck and that offense really worked well for them, and good for them. And, yeah, they did rally around Chuck Pagano's...
I think it's going to be an interesting division there because everybody's touting San Francisco and Seattle
mm-hmm.
for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But you also have the Rams, I think didn't they beat and tie the 49ers last year?
Yeah, so, they did. Actually, something I did not realize this, and I was looking over the summer, the 49ers and the Rams have this really long rivalry that, mm-hmm. Not many people realize. I mean, a lot has to do with the 49ers winning, five Super Bowls, and the Rams having one. That kind of, doesn't really even it out. But apparently they have this long-standing rivalry, which I had no idea.
So. But again, with new players, it's divisional.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's always been divisional for them.
New players, too. But I think not too many people really remember the Los Angeles Rams that are playing on those squads now.
No, definitely not. And then coming back east, I know Doug Maroney, he's the new Bills coach.
He's very interesting because... of course, he was born in the Bronx, so he's a New York guy,
49
years old. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is he, and of course, from Syracuse head coach, right?
Yeah.
But he played at Syracuse, and mm-hmm. he also played for the Dolphins, the Saints, and the Monarchs, the London Monarchs.
Of the World League of American Football.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And 02 to 05, he was the Jets' offensive line coach under Herman Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, that's a nightmare coach.
hey, they got one division title out of it, so it was fine.
Oh, and he's been cashing in on that forever. And 06-08, he was in New Orleans, offensive coordinator with Sean Payton.
Right.
So that's big news, right? And, of course, 09 to 2012 was Syracuse head coach. So he knows upstate New York. He knows cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly are the players up there, which, really, back to preseason, you got the guy, Jeff Toole. Now, I think it was just last week or a few days ago that he got a Wikipedia page, so nobody knew who the heck this guy was. Unheralded, had a horrible record in college, the teams he was on.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Washington State?
Washington State. I think he only won 4 games as a starter.
Yeah, I don't think he was a starter very much. So that's really big news up there, right? And, of course, A.J. Manuel, more than likely, will start.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that goes. He looked real good, right?
Yeah, no, he looked real good. But
I'm loving this guy, Marquise Goodwin.
Right.
So he had a 107-yard kickoff return. He's an Olympic long jumper with world-class speed.
Wow.
He's a lot of fun. And that guy, T.J. Graham, on the other side is no slouch either. He can flat-out fly.
Right, exactly.
You're going to have a quick-tempo offense up there. You've got Spiller, which, if he's healthy, and that's always an if.
If he's healthy, and also he's back at home for a family issue. He needs to be around there for... So.
Well, as he's a big part of that because that you've got to, it's hard to play deep and up close to defend him. So they got a lot of good things going based on what the quarterback does.
No, it's true. And actually, I read because I know Manuel's injured and he's probably not going to start the first week, Toole is in line. He would be the first starter since the Super Bowl era to be a non-draftee. To start week one, which is, that's unheard of. That's unbelievable, but that's what...
A free agent rookie.
Yeah, exactly. And that's
well, he looks like he has some accuracy. Again, that guy broke his collarbone twice.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, who knows if these guys can hold up.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they're in a division where you know, the Jets are pretty much a train wreck with all kinds of injuries.
Yeah.
Not to mention the coaching and da-da-da-da-da. But also, you have Miami, who's looking good on paper. You got New England coming off the Hernandez nightmare with the...
Not only Hernandez, also Gronkowski, too.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking about it in such negativity when you got a, you know, a murderer.
Yeah.
To cut from your team. I mean, you know, all kinds of distractions going there. But you're right. Walker's gone. Welker, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a lot of issues there. And we'll see if they straighten the defense out, because really in Brady's career, he's been asked to do more and more later and later in his career.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Don't have the defense now, although. So there's a lot of ifs there. So let's see what happens in that division.
All right. And then going not far from there to a coach who was up in the very northeast of North America, Mark Trestman is now with the Chicago Bears.
Oh, yeah, gotta love him.
This guy, he is basically, well, first of all, he was a quarterback coach for tons of really good quarterbacks, Bernie Kosar, Jeff Garcia, I mean, just on and on down, Jake Plummer, when Jake Plummer had his great season with Arizona when they went to the playoffs. And all the when Rich Gannon won the 2002 NFL MVP, he was there.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because he was a quarterback.
Yeah.
In the University of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
He was born in Minneapolis. Two-time Grey Cup champion. He was a running back coach for the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
And he was quarterback, offense coordinator, Bucks, Browns, Niners, Lions, Cards, Raiders, Dolphins. So, yeah, he has a pedigree in the NFL, too. I'm liking him a lot. I mean, anybody that's won championships has got a shot there.
Yeah, and not only that, prospects for the draft, apparently they call him, and they work with him. Brandon Whedon, who's with the Browns, Tim Tebow, Jason Campbell, Jimmy Clausen, Jay Cutler. They all were trained, or at least mentored by him before the draft. I mean, that says a lot for him. And he's going into a high offense, you know, a big offensive situation with Cutler and Brandon Marshall. So it will definitely be interesting to see how he does. And then moving just a little bit south, the Browns have Rob Chudzinski. Chudzinski,
yeah.
Yeah,
he's the guy I think I've dubbed as Cork. He's filling in a gap there. I don't expect much out of him.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a tight end and a tight end coach. In fact, he coached Winslow and Shockey as college players and as professional players.
Oh, wow, down at Miami, yeah.
Yeah, and also in the Panthers with Shockey.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, he's 45 years old, right?
Yeah.
He coached underneath assistant under Butch Davis, Marty Schottenheimer, Romeo Crennel, North Turner,
mm-hmm.
and Rivera. He was the Browns offensive coordinator, and he was the Charger assistant head coach.
Right.
Born in Toledo, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. So he knows the area. And also, of course, like Cleveland's the type of town whose head coach would be a former tight end. You know, it just fits perfectly. It's almost like a glove. It's too perfect.
Yeah, but if there was ever a franchise that was, it's not the Browns that we know.
Right. No, definitely not. And, you know, they're still trying to build their way up from,
So what's the opposite of new and improved?
Old and stale?
There you go.
Yeah, that's very true. So now one thing you like to do is you like to pick surprise teams every year. You like to pick a surprise team from the AFC and the NFC. And you have
So the qualifications would be they can't be in the playoffs the year before.
So they cannot have made the playoffs the previous year, right?
Right.
So I think let's see who did make the playoffs last year. The Pats, the Ravens, Bengals, Texans, Colts, Broncos, and that's in the AFC. So who's your surprise surprise pick or surprise team in the AFC?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still thinking about that. I was thinking about more. Well, I like Buffalo's chances, but it's just iffy with the health situation of these quarterbacks. It's a quarterback-driven league, and no matter who gets the start up there, it's going to be a rookie.
Right. No, absolutely. I do like Buffalo because of the Patriots' distractions, and also, you know, that defense used to be their hallmark, but now it's all offense, and I don't see them improving enough on defense to where the
there's question marks on everyone in that division.
Yeah, oh, big time. That's why I think it's weak enough where a surprise team. I mean, this is the same division that, you know, not all that long ago when Tony Sperano took over the Dolphins, they went 11 and they beat New England that year. I think they had like a 13-win season. So I mean, a surprise can come, and it just very rarely happens with Belichick and the Patriots entrenched. So I would say, yeah, Buffalo would probably be the surprise team.
Yeah, but it's long odds there.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, the Steelers
in the West, I don't really like.
Well, it's the Broncos and everybody else.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Raiders aren't going to make it. Kansas City has a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have a chance.
Right.
Pittsburgh is iffy. They've lost a lot.
Mm-hmm. And that's a tough division.
But they weren't in the playoffs last year.
No, they were 8-8.
Yeah.
And I think, and Roethlisberger will play all season this year.
So if you're thinking, what if I said, well, who do you think, Pittsburgh or Buffalo? You'd have to take Pittsburgh, no? They got a proven coach. They got a proven quarterback.
They do, but it's really hard to say.
Running backs.
I mean, the only way I could see that is if Baltimore has a big time Super Bowl hangover.
Well, look how many changes they've had there.
Yeah, and how many, and not just changes, but leadership changes as well.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Pittsburgh would be definitely a solid pick for surprise team. Now,
it wouldn't be a surprise to a lot of people.
No. No, it wouldn't be. And then the NFC would be a surprise pick there.
Well, New Orleans.
New Orleans.
I don't know if they have the defense to do it. Yeah, Sean Payton, I like in Chicago a lot. I like the coaching change. I like the talent they have there.
And they went 10-6 last year, and they didn't make the playoffs.
Well, yeah, and it cost the coach the job, which is crazy, right?
Yeah. Not only that, but they gave up the second fewest points allowed last year. The second fewest. A 10-6 record, and they don't make the playoffs.
But the problem is, Cutler giveth, and he taketh away.
Oh, that is for sure. That's for sure.
So that's a big problem there. But now, of course, a lot of people are going to point to Detroit, because on paper, they're looking good.
Yeah. Yeah, so. No, they are. Stafford and Megatron with Calvin Johnson.
Sure. So, of course, they have the coach, I think, is going to limit them, and has, you know, the running back situation. Have they solved that? So there's questions going on there. So,
I mean, yeah, that NFC North is tough. And, you know, with the Falcons, yeah, with Mike Smith, you know what, I would think either the Saints or Carolina.
Well, Carolina's got some missing pieces in that puzzle. Plus Cam Newton, how consistent is he?
Not very. Not very. Yeah. He might not be the best leader for the team. He might be better as a stat machine.
And then, of course, you've got the Cowboys. They were 8-8 last year.
Mm-hmm.
A ton of injuries late. I'm loving the way defense is looking this year. The 4-3 is the real deal. It'll keep pressure on people. That could turn around. That would be no surprise, really.
Right. The Giants as well. I mean, they had a winning record last year.
And we'll see about that defense. They had that safety go down recently. He's out for the year.
That's right.
You know, so
I mean, the NFC is rife with different surprise teams.
It looks it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would probably say the Saints, especially with Peyton coming back, the conquering hero returning and really trying to...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he could be refreshed. you know, from not being, you know, he'll have the fresh legs, the fresh mind.
Yeah, because that's now, a lot. Yeah.
And every year since the realignment in 2002,
mm-hmm.
there have been at least one team that made the playoffs that came in last place the year before.
Yeah, and that's...
So, of those teams, right, here they are.
Right.
The last place teams from last year, right? Buffalo, Cleveland, mm-hmm. Jacksonville, Kansas City, Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, Arizona, and Detroit. So last year, the three teams the year before
mm-hmm.
That were in last place were the Redskins, the Vikings, and the Colts, and they all made the playoffs last year.
Yeah, that's...
So, of these teams, which one? This is like real surprise stuff, because you didn't make the playoffs, but you were in last place.
Right.
So, a lot of people are all over, really. Detroit,
mm-hmm.
Kansas City.
Yeah.
Those are pretty much the favorites of people I think will be in the playoffs this year. That
I'll pick a dark horse, and I'll say Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's my surprise. I mean, to be fair, the NFC South, aside from the Falcons, everybody else was 7-9. So Tampa Bay was only in last place by...
See, but the only problem with Tampa Bay is, think of that in their division, they're going to have New Orleans and they're going to have Atlanta.
Yeah.
So that's tough, whereas if you took Kansas City in that scenario, you really just have Denver.
Yeah, very good point.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point. It's going to be definitely an interesting season, and we're going to talk more about Week One once the preseason's over.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right, Dad.
So why do we watch the preseason?
Because we want to get our fix of the NFL to start off with.
Yeah. Well, sometimes we're looking for a diamond in the rough.
Yeah.
Like the Lions Kickalicious.
Oh, Harvard Rugland, I'm all about him.
Or the internet sensation Tanner.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We want to see the rule changes. There were 7 of them this year.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to see train wrecks, like all the injuries and...
Yeah. You want to, you know, with this. You want to see Geno Smith and Mark Sanchez go down with injuries? Sure.
So preseason means nothing.
No.
Unless you get people hurt, then it means everything.
Yeah, exactly. Then it's a real big deal. And you can also see some career comebacks. I mean, Vince Young is looking like he's going to be Aaron Rodgers' backup in Green Bay, which is hard to believe. I mean, this is a guy who, after he lost the game in Tennessee, he basically left the team.
Huh? Will we see him? Or unless he's the holder on field goals, I don't think we're going to see him at all.
No, we're not going to see him unless, you know, an injury happens to Aaron Rodgers, which I hope not. I have him on my fantasy team, so he better not. But, I mean, just the fact that he made it back. I mean, this is a guy who basically went home and locked himself in his room after the Titans lost, and he couldn't handle all that losing.
Right. So. And then he, what, took his bank account out and said, gee, it's not that depressing?
No, then he goes to Philadelphia, proclaims it a dream team, and that was the year they got Vic and Asamoaga, and then... Nope, nothing.
Well, I expect a lot of running this year in the NFL. And not only to break down, you know, on defense, so, you know, we're going to have a lot of these guys. Look at Pryor for the Raiders,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, and look at Geno Smith, right, for the... You're going to have these type running. And the fact that defense has, you know, lightened up, hasn't lost weight with the linebackers and to cover people.
Yeah.
A pass happy league. So that's going to open things for a run, I think, across the league.
No, you're definitely right.
And, you know, and you're seeing three safeties sometimes now in passing situations. So, you know, screens and everything. You know, it's a trendy league.
Oh, definitely. If it works for one team, you're definitely going to see it happen on your team.
Right. And you're always looking for the mismatches.
Yes, absolutely.
I thought it was crazy that E.J. Manuel was picked ahead of Geno Smith.
Yeah.
In the draft.
And I think for a lot of draft boards, E.J. Manuel was maybe fifth. A lot of the pundits had him not even not even being
well, in the
a tough.
Preseason game last week, did you see him run out of the end zone? Or not run out, but have a foot out of the end zone?
Oh, Geno Smith? Yeah, I saw him. I saw him try to avoid the sack and not know where the end line was. Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't have to be worrying about that too much when you're working with your first team offense. That's more second team offense stuff. And you've got the backups on the O-line playing, but if you've got your first team offensive line out there, you shouldn't be worrying about that sort of stuff. You shouldn't have to run around like a crazy man.
But most apprenticeships, whether it's a plumber or sports, I mean, it takes 3 to 5 years to learn your craft.
Yeah.
So no matter how talented you are, you still need time.
You do.
On the job, in the same environment, and the game's faster.
Yeah. And you talk about being trendy. I mean, a lot of these teams, especially the Jets, you know, they're looking at last year when you had 3 rookie quarterbacks starting and leading their teams to playoffs. The Colts with Luck, the Seahawks with Wilson, and then the Redskins with Griffin, the third. I mean, all those 3 rookies starting and make the playoffs. So you talk about trendy. I mean, there's a lot of other teams that are hoping to catch that lightning in a bottle again.
Yeah. It's very rare, so.
No, it's exceptionally rare, and I don't think it's going to happen.
Everybody starts the season undefeated, so.
That's very true.
That's the excitement of the game.
That's very true, and they have 1 week to gloat about that and work on to the next week. So.
Sweet.
Yep. Okay, Dad.
Okay.
All right, Dad.
Oh, what about Matt Harvey?
Nightmare. Oh, it's.
When good things go bad.
Yeah, I know. You know, no wonder we stockpiled all these young arms, because invariably one of these guys are going to break down so we can bring up another 2. This is why we have 7 good pitchers in the minors, not to use as trade bait just until the other one falls down. You know, just replace them. So it looks like it's not going to be next year. It looks like more like 2015. We're going to hopefully contend.
Everything is temporary, so even the pyramids are crumbling.
Yeah.
Okay, bud.
All right, bye. And before I go, the loss of Matt Harvey for the rest of the 2013 season and possibly the 2014 season really puts a damper on my hope for the future of the franchise within the next couple of years. You know, it was on this program that I was asked why I'm not more excited about this Mets team. And because pitching staffs made up of young pitchers are very likely to get injured and have career-threatening injuries such as torn ligaments in their arms. And so to have Matt Harvey go down with such an injury, his loss is very big. It's one thing when it's a team made up of good young hitters. An injury is much rarer, but a team of good young pitchers are very likely to break down. Hopefully Matt Harvey can come back and pitch at his high level again, but that's not likely to happen until 2015. Which is disappointing and upsetting. So you can like us on Facebook at Everyman Sports. You can also email me at everymansports@gmail.com. That's everymansports@gmail.com. And please continue to listen and share and tell your friends. Thank you very much.